In the first reading today, St. Paul talks about the fact that Jesus is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a mysterious figure. He is mentioned in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. He comes sort of out of nowhere. Abraham had defeated five kings, and he goes to Melchizedek, offers 10% of everything that he had obtained. Melchizedek, who is called the priest of God Most High, offers sacrifice on behalf of Abraham. And then we don't hear about him ever again. The only other place in the Old Testament is what we just heard in the responsorial psalm, Psalm 110, which is a messianic psalm. In other words, the rabbis recognized that this was a psalm that was about the Messiah. And it says very specifically that he would be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Not only does it say that, it says God swore an oath and he will not change. You are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. God doesn't normally swear an oath. He doesn't have to. He is God. But he is making a point here that is so profound that he made it with an oath. So what does this mean? Well, first of all, you have to remember that among the Jewish people, every single male was a priest. Every last one. Until they worshiped the golden calf. When they worshiped the golden calf, they lost their priesthood. And then that priesthood, there was a new priesthood that was given, and it was given only to Aaron and to his descendants. So the other 11 tribes were no longer priests at all. The priesthood that they had was the same one that Melchizedek had. But they had lost it. And now a new priesthood was given to Aaron. In that priesthood, Aaron was to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people as well as for himself. So he offered primarily animal sacrifices. There were what they call cereal offerings and libations. So there were some things where they offered bread and wine, but for the most part it was animal sacrifices. If we go back and we look at what Melchizedek offered, it was bread and wine. And so if Jesus is going to be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, he's going to offer bread and wine. But he makes very clear that the bread that he gives is his flesh for the life of the world. So he is indeed offering bread and wine, but he has elevated that and perfected it in this order. So let's backtrack a little bit and ask ourselves, who is this Melchizedek? St. Paul talk about this as he goes through the chapters 5, 6, and 7 of his letter to the Hebrews. The word Melchizedek actually is a title rather than a name. It's a word that means a righteous king. So who is he? The fathers of the church tell us that Melchizedek is Shem. Shem is the firstborn son of Noah. And if you read the book of Genesis, Shem is the only righteous firstborn son in the entire book of Genesis. So all these things in the Jewish way, everything goes to the firstborn son. And they're all pretty much disasters, except for Shem. He's the only one who's righteous. He is the king of a place that's called Salem. Salem would later be called Jerusalem, because when Abraham went up the mountain, Mount Moriah, to offer his son, and then God intervened and he offered the ram instead, he said, this place will be called Yahweh Yireh. That Yireh is the beginning of Jerusalem. And so the name was changed at that point because of the sacrifice of Abraham. Now, You look at that then and say, okay, how does all this work? Shem, or Melchizedek, would be the great, 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 great grandfather of Abraham. And so he was still alive. You look at the dates and so on, the time that's given. He's still alive at the time of Abraham, obviously a very elderly man. But it also explains why he doesn't need any introduction. Everybody would have known who he was. He came off the ark. He came not only off the ark, but he had the priesthood that God had given from the beginning. That explains why Jesus is going to be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He couldn't be a priest according to the order of Aaron because only the Levites, that is, those who came from the tribe of Aaron, could be priests. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And so according to the Aaronic priesthood, he was not a priest. He could not be a priest. But he is God. And so obviously the priesthood that he had in his own right was the one that God had given from the very beginning. And so it is reestablished in our blessed Lord. So now what God has done, as I mentioned a bit ago, is to perfect that priesthood. Melchizedek offered bread and wine. So did Jesus. But Jesus turned that bread and wine into himself. Now, the part that is most important for you and me to understand is that in the Old Testament priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, every priest was his own priest. Every priest offered his own separate sacrifice. You could only offer a lamb once. You could offer a lamb every day, but you could only offer this particular lamb once because you've now killed it and you've burned it. You can't come back and offer the same one tomorrow. So each priest offered a totally unique, separate sacrifice. He had his own priesthood, he had his own sacrifice. In the New Testament, there is one priest. One. And that is Jesus. No priest of the New Testament times has his own priesthood. The Pope, the bishops, the priests, none of them have their own priesthood. All of us participate in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. All of us offer the one sacrifice, because there is only one sacrifice in the New Testament, and that is Jesus. So he is the priest, he is the victim, that is, he is the one who is sacrificed. And we need to be very, very clear, because this is something you may be challenged on by some of your non-Catholic friends. St. Paul will hear in his letter to the Hebrews, said that Jesus was sacrificed once for all. And he says that twice. I think it's in the 9th chapter. He makes it very clear that this wasn't once for everyone. This was once for all time. One sacrifice for all time. That's exactly what's happening. What's going to happen in just a couple of minutes is that the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ is going to be offered. It is going to be offered by Jesus Christ himself. Now you might look at that and say, what an arrogant slob you are. You think you're Jesus and you're going to go up there and offer that sacrifice? No. But remember, when a priest is ordained, there is what's called an ontological change that happens so that he literally stands in the person of Jesus Christ. So just as our Lord's divinity worked through his own humanity 2,000 years ago, now his divinity works through the humanity of the priest. That's why you will hear the words, not, this is Jesus' body that was given up for you, you will hear the priest say, "This is my body, which is given up for you." Because it's the Lord who is doing this. I, by myself, as a man, have zero ability to change bread and wine into the person of Jesus Christ. None. No one could. Only he can. And that's exactly what he will do. So it is the same sacrifice. It is the same priest. We are not offering Jesus again and again and again and again. We are offering him still. He is offering himself still. One sacrifice that has been continuous for 2,000 years and will continue until the end of the world, because there is only one sacrifice for the salvation of souls and the forgiveness of sin. The Old Testament sacrifices could cover up sin. They couldn't take it away because it was animal blood, not human blood. The sacrifice of Jesus removes sin. It takes it away. It destroys it. It is entirely different. So we offer bread and wine, but we know it's the person of Jesus, because cannibalism is something which is condemned, rightly, in Scripture. So he had to give himself away, give us away, to receive him in a way that wouldn't violate us and wouldn't violate the law of God. That's why he's present under the forms of bread and wine. It's no longer a piece of bread. It's no longer wine. It looks and tastes like it, but the reality has changed. It is the Lord. 100%, period, exclamation point, underlined, italicized, whatever. It is the Lord, because he is the priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the one offering himself to the Father for you. And then he gives himself to you to be united with you. That's what's going on. So when we hear about this point of Melchizedek, and you might go, whatever. It's not a whatever. This is an absolutely massive point, because it tells us who he is, tells us who we are, tells us what is going on at the altar, what is going on at the communion rail. Because he is Melchizedek, he is the righteous king, he is the one foretold in Psalm 110, and he has fulfilled that and continues to, so that our sins can be forgiven, so that our souls can be saved.